Hey everyone, welcome to The Gathering, honest conversations about life, faith, and everything in between. Today in the studio, Sherelle, Abiola, and I are joined with Shion Awolowo, founder of A Conversation About Womanhood, to talk all things womanhood, friendship, and independence. Hello, Shion.
Hi.
Thank you for gracing us with your presence today. We're really happy to have you on the podcast.
I'm so happy to be here, and I think this is great. And I think it's only just the beginning of the influence that even just gathering around the Word of God will bring. So congratulations in advance.
Yeah, thank God. So, you know, speaking of God and speaking of, you know, being in relationship with God, how... For people listening and for, you know, people tuning in that maybe on their journey or are looking to start their journey, how did you come about, you know, your relationship with God? How did you find God? Did you grow up in a Christian background? Tell us your story.
My story. Okay, interesting. When I was thinking about this morning, it's so funny because my story of coming to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, for sure, because some people think that they know, but, you know,
you.
Life throws you some scenarios which make you really decide whether this thing you really believe it or not.
Yeah.
And it's very much tied to what I believe my purpose in Christ is, which is the feminine heart, this vulnerability journey, and just being able to develop healthy relationships. So let me rewind. So I came to Christ when I was 17. I had just finished my first year of university. I had actually just been on a girls' holiday to Ibiza. You can imagine everything that comes with. And I was very much a leader in that space as well, in terms of, you know, being very experimental, etc. Anyway, so I land back from Ibiza. On the way back from the trip, I had this massive argument with one of my friends on the trip. And I was just feeling a little bit like misunderstood, lonely. And then a friend reached out to me, a friend from boarding school, and was like, oh, like, are you up for lunch? I came back on a Friday. She said she wanted to meet me tomorrow. I thought, okay, fine. So I met with her. And she didn't say anything about, you know, Jesus or her faith, but she was radiating just this joy and this light and this energy where she had normally been a very anxious and nervous person. So it was almost like we had switched positions in the relationship. So I had to ask, I was like, I'm so sorry, I have to ask you, like, what is different?
Yeah, what happened?
And she goes, I was really hoping you would ask. I've actually been going to church. I rolled my eyes. I thought, oh my goodness, one of those. But she was like, you know, I really want to invite you tomorrow. At this point, I hadn't been to church in many years. My parents are Anglican. I grew up in an Anglican household, but we didn't go to church every single Sunday. My mom was very much doing her own sort of thing independently, fasting, praying over her family, as most Nigerian mothers do, but definitely not enforcing that on us.
Yeah.
I mean, we did used to recite the Psalms, and I started to remember that as I grew in my faith. Because I love the Psalms, and I know that that's the reason. So she did deposit something. But in terms of that relationship, it just wasn't really there. Church was just a chore. So when I came to England, I was like, thank God, I don't have to do that anymore. So I hadn't been to church for a while. So I went home, but I just had this burning feeling that I should go. So, you know, typical, I found a white dress that I had, found my, you know, heels.
That's what people do, though.
Exactly, because you think you need to show up in a particular way. Not just to church, but in life.
Yeah, especially coming from a Nigerian background, that's what we've been taught, that you dress up to go to church. So I understand.
Because, you know, the idea is that you present your best self, as if God can't see all of you anyway.
Exactly.
So I arrived, the church was actually HTB. So I went, and as soon as I walked into the doors, because my friend was one of the worship leaders, she was playing the guitar and actually singing. And even just talking about it, it just makes me a bit emotional. As soon as I walked into that door, I just felt the love of God so strongly. And I just knew that that was what I'd been looking for really my whole life. I gave my life to Christ immediately. I bought myself a new Bible, which I actually still have. I dedicated myself to God. And then luckily I had like 3 days of just being in uni by myself. In that time I started like listening to, you know, Heidi Baker and all of these amazing preachers, and I actually baptized myself.
Oh wow.
And I started speaking in tongues alone, and that was just kind of my journey. So for me it was very full on, which most things in my life really are, but that was how I came to know Christ. And then from then it's just literally been a journey of just growing in my knowledge of God, in relationships, etc., etc.
Amazing. Even like talking about, you know, you baptizing yourself, I think, I mean, that really shows how
I don't often really say that.
But you know, I think it's important to know that, like, you know, it's about relationship and not. For me, I feel like a lot of people think, you know, going to church, like, it's the pastor that has to do all these things. Like, I'm not, like, strong enough or whole enough or Christian enough
yeah.
to, you know, do all these things. So I think it's, yeah. you know, it's beautiful to see that, you know, going to church and like having that relationship made you confident in your faith to do that. So that's
yeah,
amazing.
I think the faith is something that has certain elements that are, you know, constant regardless of how you find it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, how would somebody who got saved 2 days before know that baptism and speaking in tongues were important
wow.
if it's not the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you wow. know, so we tend to perform our Christianity. Sometimes God is the one in charge.
Yeah.
He knows what we need to do and it will be done. You know, but I find that like, and I'm very glad that I wasn't in a position where it was kind of forced upon me.
Mm.
You know, it was only after those things had happened, which I thought were quite weird, that I gained an understanding of what it actually meant and why it was so significant for that to happen for me
yeah.
at that time. Not to say that different people shouldn't have different expressions, but it just makes me more sure that this thing is true because it doesn't really make sense. How do I even know that that needs to happen?
Yeah.
It just kind of did because God was in charge of it.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. That's like a really big thing that I didn't know in terms of just making that connection, that how would I have known to do that if I didn't know all these things? And it just reminds me of the verse where it says that, you know, God's will and God's words are actually written on our heart. He sets eternity in the hearts of men. So while we may not know all the intricacies and maybe be able to recite the Bible back to back, there are some core principles that are latent within us. And when we actually accept or opt into what Jesus and what God is offering, those things actually start to come out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you spoke about purpose and how your relationship with God is really has been driven by you knowing your purpose in Christ.
Mm.
So, you know, you have this beautiful platform, beautiful community called A Conversation About Womanhood.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people are listening to this and they maybe are looking for their purpose in Christ. So
mm-hmm.
how have you, from your relationship with God and from even like the fact that it's about womanhood, and you said that before you saw your friend at the, you met your friend up for coffee, you had an argument with your friend. So how did that, you know, building of A Conversation About Womanhood come about mm-hmm. in your relationship with God?
A Conversation About Womanhood is something that is just so important and special to me because it's my easiest, it's the easiest office that I occupy. Mm. Everything else that I do in my life is a little bit more difficult, but this is easy. And I was thinking about this before the last one, and I was just kind of like, you know, just chilling with God and just like trying to listen and just hear really what he wanted me to do now. And he was just like, Oluwaseun, God calls me Oluwaseun all the time. He's like, it's always been easy with us, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like, wow, thank God that you see it that way too, Lord, because I do feel like in some areas it's always been easy with us.
Mm.
And I think that ease is not, it's not an easy ease, you know, and in our prayer group this morning, we're actually talking about that. It's not an easy ease. It's just a trust.
Mm.
I woke up one morning. It was of great things are usually born out of difficult seasons.
Well,
that's just kind of the way of the world. I woke up one morning and God just like create an environment and just do you. And I was like, what does that even mean? But I knew that, like, you know, things had been building. So when I actually got saved, that was 2000 and let me say 9 or 10. But a few years after, a lot of my friends, as a result, also got saved. They were either on their own journey or they just happened to be on the same journey at the same time as me. But it seemed as if everybody that I cared about and loved was getting saved too.
Mm.
But also there were people that were just kind of making fun of us and thinking it was a joke. So we started gathering in my home at my dining table. Every day we would worship, speak in tongues, pray, linger till like 4 o'clock in the morning just to start again the next day doing it all over again. It was actually quite radical.
Wow.
And God was just like, that was an environment, right? That created like people's purpose, that birthed people into new seasons, etc.
Yeah.
That is not tied to the place. It's tied to the person.
Yeah.
And that person is you.
Mm.
It's tied to, you know, how much you're able to open up yourself and just create that environment for people to rest in. So he was like, I want you to take it further, you know, create the environment and do you. So I thought, okay. And then the words came, A Conversation About Womanhood. I was like, okay, let me see how I can shorten it and make it catchy. You know, you're just kind of trying to go along on the journey. And then before I knew it, God had said, okay, do the first one, ask these people to help with the team, etc. And we were off.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But the whole point of this is that I wasn't like there thinking, what can I do now to like be or relevant. It was more like God was like, this needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's been easy. That's why it's easier than going to work for your 9 to 5, etc. Because
mm-hmm.
God created it, and so he will sustain it. And he actually said to me, you know, 80% of it is you creating the physical environment. Like, you know, the details. I love details. I love personalization. Yeah. All my friends know that. He was like, yeah, all of those things are elements for this movement. So you do that. And then leave 20% for me. So I don't actually prepare before ACAW or ACOR, as people are now calling it. I don't prepare. I'm like, God, what are the words of this season? So recently we talked about loss, you know, obviously personal to me because I lost my mother-in-law, heartbreak, grace, etc. The words just always come and they always seem to be so in season. You know, so women gather around it. The environment is soft. It's very bold, but just beautiful. Yeah. I really genuinely feel that as they walk into the room, there's a presence that comes upon them, everybody. And it's not something I create, it's something that God creates.
Yeah.
And that is just what he wants for that group of women there at that time.
Is that you think that people can actually find that comfort? Because I guess in comparison to your friends gathering around a dining table, those are like friends or people who became friends quite quickly. Whereas this is like a public event, anyone can come. So I'm just curious to question like what you think that factor is that makes people feel so safe when people don't even feel safe in their own friendships. I suppose it is this God thing that you're mentioning.
It absolutely is. And you know the funny thing, like I was saying this, it doesn't make sense. Why would you, a woman, you don't really know anybody, and why would you come, actually not just come, pay to come and start talking about these issues that are so deep and vulnerable to you if it's not a God thing? It's similar to me baptizing myself and speaking in tongues. There's no effort in it. It just kind of happens. But then also I have to also be fully available and not be in my ego and not make it about me, because very that takes key. Up space. So I have to really be empty and allow God just kind of do what he wants to do. And I actually am also always overwhelmed. I'm also always like learning, and my heart is also, me too, I'm experiencing it the same way. I just don't know how to describe it. Like when people come, like the last one, most of the people that came, I actually didn't really know, you know, for the first time, because, you know, our social media has really improved. And so we have a lot more people coming on the page. But it's just like, I think that for me, when you see the words and you see like the pictures or whatever it is that we put up, something inside you feels like, oh my God, I need this. And that's the heart of God calling to you to say, come darling, I want to actually be close to you. I want to be near to you. I want you to know that I see you and I see your struggles and you're not alone in this. So it's interesting that it's a public community, but it's also super private and it's super intimate, but it's also very much available to anybody. And I think that's what God is trying to do in terms of taking us to a place of vulnerability, especially in this world of social media and so much connection. It doesn't mean that because people know what's going on with you, it can't be intimate or private, or you can't have special moments in it. You know, God is really very much about, he wants to take this thing public, you know, and it says so in Matthew. It talks about, you know, being a light on the hill, that we're going public with this. God is not a secret to be hidden. These are parts of the truths that we try to share in ACAW, because I don't tell people, people share their faith very openly. I mean, Abiola was there, she was talking about loss, and she shared very, very poignantly and just beautifully about how, you know, sacrifice is just a reflection of Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross. And our belief in that really means that we can be confident and move forward. So all of that is just to say that if God isn't something, it will flourish. It may not be on our timeline or in the way that we want, etc. But I find that the more I kind of let go, the more beautiful it becomes. And instead of growing in effort, I'm actually reducing my efforts when it comes to the movement. Interestingly enough, it's so crazy, but that's just how it's kind of working out.
That's key.
It's amazing.
How did that feel, reducing the effort?
Oh my goodness. So for someone like me, it was funny. I was having a conversation with a mentor of mine at work, and we were talking about where I am in my career, etc. And he was saying, you know, what you do is provide leverage for us. You're a leverage provider, but you need to find a leverage provider for yourself so you can be free to do other things. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is what I need. I had been praying. I was like, God, can you just bring someone alongside who gets this vision and is even more passionate about it than I am and just understands it and can express it? And God was like, don't worry, I'm bringing somebody. And so he did. But then she was always there, but I didn't really use her. I was almost like, oh no, this is my thing. I'm the one who gets it. Let me just be the one to do it. But when that guy said that thing to me, and he was not talking about ACOR, he doesn't even know about it, but that's what came to mind, that I have provided you with a leverage provider, and I'll give them let them actually do this thing. And so I just had more time to just pray and like focus, and then all of the, I didn't even go to the venue until the day that it was happening. I'd not seen it in person, but you know, it's difficult when you're someone who cares about how things turn out to just trust that it's going to be okay. Of course, in the morning there was a lot of anxiety. I tried to get there so early, but it was beautiful and it was exactly how I thought it would be. So even just being able to let go a bit sometimes is where you find God like working the most.
And this is something I wanted to touch on a bit later, but we'll touch on it now because you've talked about it, is that when you show up to the day on show up to the venue on the day of the event, because you've got an amazing like team who gets it, that's basically a form of leadership. Now that's not the only type of leadership. You don't have to be the one in charge or the CEO, as people aim for, the founder. But I'm just curious about obviously knowing you personally, it's very obvious that you're like a leader, and I just wanted to explore that a bit more, because obviously you've had a vision in the example of ACAW. You've been able to now not let it go, but at least be able to expand it and extend it to other people. What does that then, what does that just leadership journey look like? Because I think it's very easy, especially in this day and age, for ego to just invade everything.
Yeah. Leadership is very interesting because I don't think I ever really kind of saw myself as a leader, to be honest. I've never really kind of seen myself as a leader. I knew I had like leadership skills and qualities. And, you know, when you read about characters in the Bible and you're like, oh,
it's me, yeah.
That resonates with me. But honestly, I think it just comes from a place of vulnerability with God. I don't really know how to explain it. I think for me, it's been a journey of my own identity as a person. Right. Yeah. Who even am I as a person? And a lot of the time I'm like, what do I even have to offer? I feel like my stuff is always mushy. I actually was thinking about that when I was doing my makeup. I was like, a lot of people that come on the podcast, they have tangible achievements, you know. My stuff is so mushy. Like, what even is it?
You definitely but have I guess tangible that's achievements as well.
Wow. But you know, I guess that I'm still on my leadership journey, 100%. Yeah. I don't even know if I can receive what you're saying, to be honest. I'm still on my journey, but I try to just focus more on making myself more connected to God and trying to be true to that relationship, because I believe everything comes out of that.
Definitely.
If I try to focus on how many people came last time, how many people coming next time, I will fail. You know, the world will celebrate you one day and reject you another day.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had that happen to me so many times in life. Ever since I was young, I've always been in this am I a leader, am I not a leader kind of zone. Mm. There's always a story I always remember. We were preparing for the nativity. It was Christmas. And, you know, they were asking everybody what everybody wants to be. And I was like, I want to be King Nebuchadnezzar. Everybody was like, well, I was five. I want to be King Nebuchadnezzar. I didn't want to be Mary. I didn't want to be Mary, one of the donkeys whatever. I wanted to be King Nebuchadnezzar because there was something about being a king that I just recognized was more what I would be. And so I was King Nebuchadnezzar. My grandma made me a purple outfit. I still remember the crown and I felt great. Wow. But even my teachers even called my mom, like, your daughter is saying this. Nobody understood. So all of those elements have always been there.
Yeah.
Because truth is, I'm actually a bit of an introvert. I prefer to just be, you know, with people I know. I don't like to put myself, I don't really like to put myself out there too much or whatever. But I also have a very strong voice and a very bold personality. So people always assume that I want to be a leader or I want to be in charge. But actually, that's not comfortable for me. I way prefer being in a team, facilitating, you know, just kind of doing my own thing where it's comfortable. But I guess life is presenting opportunities for me to step up a bit more, and I'm working on it. But I don't know if I receive that title of like leadership in a purposeful way.
And that just it's probably everywhere in the Bible. But I'm just like thinking and digesting everything that you're saying, and I think I was going to be like, you have to receive what I've said. And I still think you kind of do. But in another way, I'm like, I understand that that's going to always be a tension, because I think the minute that it's not a tension is the minute that maybe ego comes in. I'm just thinking about like the Psalms and just how David, in so many different aspects. Hi. We've had another member of the team just come in. Sherelle. Hey, Sherelle.
Hello.
Join us.
Hey. Hello.
More than happy to have you. But yeah, I was just thinking about David in the Psalms, because sometimes he's like, basically, I'm nothing.
Yeah.
I'm no one. And obviously he's depressed at that time, but just the knowledge of the fact that, you know, when he says, who are you? Who am I that you'll be mindful of me? Just never assuming, but also never being obedient, which is what you said. Like you said that God said it's you that's going to do this and you did it.
Yeah.
But also not assuming that, well, I'm the leader and I'm going to make the choices. And the obvious example of that would then be Saul.
Yeah. Especially because God never gives you the absolute full picture.
Exactly.
So who are we to say, oh, God has told me to do this thing. Great. This is what is... I don't really know how to explain it. But like for me, I don't know what the full vision is. It's actually my friends and people around me that start saying, oh, what about a conference? I'm like, I'm just trying to do the gathering as I've been asked to do it, right?
Yeah.
So it's also just, you know, being in not every time when something is seemingly successful to people that you jump on it and try to take it further. Yeah. You know, we were talking about an analogy this morning of like, you know, God is basically saying maybe the reason why you haven't seen the manifestation of a lot of things that you want is because you're too full in it. So it's like a cup, right? God has asked you to pour half. You're trying to pour 70%, 75%. Mm. God wants us to put in 50%.
Wow.
When you've poured in 75%, it's only 25%. Yeah. So that the success and the growth that you want to see is not there because you've not left it enough room.
Mm.
So for me, I'm always super mindful to be like, I just need God's voice, love. You can affirm me and tell me everything is great, but if I don't get that instruction from God, I'm very reluctant to move forward because it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
that's key, and that's not easy actually. Like, we're really on this women topic, but I think it's absolutely critical is that especially in this day and age, like for example, International Women's Day this year on the 8th of March versus last year, there's just a lot more like marketing and attention around it, which is great and which is important. But then I've also seen like a counter dialogue online, which is like everyone's just jumping on female empowerment and female things so that they can have a platform. Mm. And it's kind of what you said, which is somebody could walk up to you and say, well, you have done, you know, gone to color or had fellowships with girls. Why don't you start a women's empowerment group? And you could be like, yeah, that's a good idea. It is a good idea on paper, right? It, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But actually, it's really about like, what's God saying? Who am I? And where do I naturally fit? Like, imagine if you weren't the person that had all these friendships going on and like maybe you're a bit reclusive, but you thought, you know what, I can do this now. It wouldn't really make sense. It wouldn't really make sense. And like, there's a whole thing I could go into, but I won't. I'll just pause there. Because I just touched on friendship. So I just wanted to just move on into the next area that I think will hopefully give so many of the people listening just a lot of clarity and inspiration, which is just the principle, the concept of like friendships in your life. Because what I've observed from knowing you, and I think what people that maybe aren't even close to you know, is that you have amazing female friendships around you that are very different, that are not just about, you know, going out and having fun, which is great, but which we do a lot.
You need balance.
Need balance, exactly. And yeah, that they're almost like sister relationships. That's not a word, but you know what I mean. So just like, how have you been able to create and maintain these? Let's just start there.
I was thinking about this again this morning. Clearly it's very obvious that I opened these questions and read them this morning, right? Female relationships, I really do think that my female friendships and what we have created in terms of that community is the closest thing I can describe to having a soulmate. It's the closest thing. It's the most important, one of the most important things in my life that I believe is closely tied to my purpose, which is why for me doing something like ACOR makes so much sense. When God said it, I was like, okay, it wasn't an effort because it was already happening naturally. How have I been able to create? I don't think I've like actively created it, but I've been very open to it. I've openly desired it. Right? I've prayed for it. It's something I really wanted. You know, a lot of people watch Friends. You know, Friends is a TV show. My parents were obsessed with it. I watched it, like, when I was younger, etc. I just was like, isn't it so cool that, like, people can actually... For me, it's about being happy for each other. That was the first thing. I was like, people can be so happy for one another. They share things. You know, their families are intertwined. I'd, like, kind of romanticize this whole, like, community that I really, really wanted. And I wanted everybody to be in a relationship. And I wanted them to have children. And I just wanted us to grow together. Now kids will get married. And then it will just be this... beautiful. We'll start this amazing new world of like vulnerable, lovely people who love each other and don't backstab, etc. Okay, that was the big picture. Now, fast rewind back to like, I've always had good friends. And actually, I've been blessed that some of my friends who I'm friends with now were friends that I was friends with when I was younger as well. So we've actually grown. But the friendships that I'm actually more proud of are the friendships that have been born out of a connection with Jesus. If the foundation of a friendship is not a mutual respect for your values and what you hold dear, I don't think the friendship can really kind of last. That doesn't mean that you believe the same. That's why I said irrespectful. Because it doesn't necessarily have to mean that you believe the same thing. So everybody who knows me knows that, oh, this girl, she's a Christian, she loves God, and you know, that's where she's at. Right? I have friends that know that about me. A lot, some friends actually came on at my hen weekend. But that is not a threat. because they know that I also respect them, and I also respect who they are, and I also respect where they are. Now, the things I pray for them in their lives in terms of them finding Christ, etc., because I believe that to be true, I pray for that in my private time, and I don't enforce it. But when you show up as you are, I actually respect you for who you are. You know, I respect you for who you are. And actually, a lot of my friends, I genuinely did pursue them. Like Abiola, for example, she was not an easy friend to make. You know, she was not. And, you know, people see us now and they're like, oh, you guys, oh, you're all like, because I think it's like a domino effect. When one person is living purposefully, it kind of spreads to all of their friends. That's why I really like that phrase. Show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. So I think it can only be true in the context of like godly friendships, because you'll actually be proud of who people say you are when they ask you that question, right? But, you know, she was a very difficult friend to make. And I think it was just, I was just persistent. I don't know if you agree. But I just was persistent because I knew that God wanted us to be friends. So I was persistent with it. Another friend that I'm actually just actively making now, I've said to her many times, I just know that I'm going to be your close friend. So what does that mean? I invite her to everything. I don't get offended when she, you know, because there's also a little bit of ego in it. Like you can't be making an effort with someone and then they're not reciprocating. But a pattern I've noticed happen is, you know, I'm always the one to make the friend probably first, but I'm never the one that they end up being closest to. Once I make a new friend and they come into what the community, and you know, it sounds like a cult, but it really isn't. It's just a group of girls that are doing things. Please, no one should be concerned. The good ones. No, but when like I make friends with them and they actually come into the community and they meet all my friends, they develop an even stronger bond with some of my friends now that then leads to like, you know, initiatives and business ideas and all sorts of things. So, you know, I guess I'm just like the connector. But then, you know, that comes with a lot of not being offended by what people may do or say in the process. People are not used to people being nice to them. And it just reminds me of the prodigal son, and even God. Even God, I think there's actually a verse. Oh, God, please let me remember it. Let me remember. It says something about, you know, how like God actually pursues us. So we should also be open to pursuing people. So for me, that's kind of it. I think I've been blessed naturally with good friends. But in terms of creating the community, it's really a lot of like actively like pursuing particular people that I feel God wants me to pursue. And also just realizing that people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. No relationship is just like for nothing. I think that everything is actually happening intentionally. And as life goes on, it just proves me more and more correct in that regard.
But don't you think in terms of the point you made earlier about having friends that respect your values, or you have that mutual understanding, it also means that you can equally pour into each other, and it's sort of a reciprocal relationship.
Absolutely.
My question is, what about those friends who aren't necessarily on that same journey as you, haven't necessarily been touched by God in the same way? What role do you play in those people's lives?
Okay, I'll give you an example, because I think practical examples are really key. So one of my really good friends from uni, we were actually cheerleaders together. We had a lot of our, you know, seasons together. Recently, she sent me a card, and she was just, because the day before she sent me the card, she had been rejected from applying for a job, etc. And I just said to her, I was like, look, it's because God has something bigger for you. You're too good for that job. You should be happy that you've been rejected, because you're amazing. You have this qualification, that qualification, that qualification. There was no Bible verses in what I was saying to her, but I was affirming her. And you know, the next day she felt amazing. She sent me a card and a teddy bear and like a book or whatever, and just being like, thank you so much for what you said. That is not going to leave her. It's not going to leave her. She knows I'm Christian. She knows maybe it's coming from that place. I don't know, but she just knows me as a friend. As a good friend. And I think that sometimes we try to like put pressure on. So for example, anybody that I've ever sort of invited to church or whatever, it's not been because that was the beginning of the conversation. Because like we've had a good conversation. They've asked me maybe what I'm doing on Sunday or what I believe or whatever, and I've shared it, and that has made them softer and more receptive to coming along, which is exactly how I came to know Christ in the first place. Back to what I said at the beginning about my friend inviting me. If she had told me, I'm inviting you to invite you to church, well, to me, that just seems a little bit dodgy. But she just wanted to have a catch up. She really genuinely did. And if I didn't notice that anything was different in her, she wouldn't have invited me. But I did, because God is the one that sets all of these things up. The sooner we realize that it's not about us and the effort that we make, the easier life will be. I pray that I'm about to go into a season of just severe ease. That's what I'm calling it. I'm literally just going to rest and sit back and be like, God, you know what? Have your way. And that applies to friendships, relationships, you know, daily life, work, everything. because I don't think as human beings we're really made to like strive so hard. It kills us. Yeah. And that's what's killing most of us in our generation today. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's, I agree. Key.
Yeah. On the flip side of that though, she asked you a question of how the role you play in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
What role would they play in your life?
They give me perspective. Yeah. Mm. They give me perspective, and they also give me a broad view of what is going on in the world. Yeah. So I feel like now I'm actually blessed with friends with every industry. Is it politics? Wow. I have a friend in it. Is it beauty? Is it mixed race issues? There's so many things. Wow, they may not have like a, you know, the biblical perspective, but it also shows me that, wow, God, you're working on people that don't even know you're working on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
They give me a lot of perspective. Mm. And sometimes, you know, you need a practical view. Some Christians are not very practical.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, they're not very practical or really logical. Everything is pray, fast. Sometimes you just need a view.
Yeah.
You know, and they provide that. So mm-hmm. I think I don't think that they're less valuable than my Christian friends. Actually, definitely, I think, you know, everybody coming together is really, really valuable. And my Hindu in Budapest was just an example of that. It was a combination of different people from different places. But everybody, those that, you know, everybody left with something more than just the fun and games.
Yeah.
Whether it's learning in it about something that you didn't know or something that you weren't open to discussing before, I'll just leave that there. But like, you know, everybody learned something. And knowledge is power.
Some people came away with new ideas for female empowerment projects.
Yeah,
or
which we're all working
like
on
you
now.
Would think that this is just a Hindu where people are just like, but... apparently organizations are coming out of them, so it's just quite amazing. But on the flip side of all of this though, so we talked about like positive friendships, so has it always been smooth sailing in all of your friendships then? Because one thing that I observe that people talk about, especially online, is that, you know, don't trust female friends, or I only have two or three female friends. So what about disappointment and betrayal? Have you experienced that? And then maybe what would you say to someone who really struggles to actually trust other women?
Yeah, I mean, I've had the most drastic female friendship separations in my life over the past sort of 2 years. You know, some really close friends of mine that I grew up with, parents, friends, etc., that now that relationship is just not there. And given that I'm such like a committed person, I love people, I love to like keep friends close, it was very difficult for me to let that go. Mm-hmm. It was very, very difficult for me to let that go. But I think in letting that go, it created room for me to move forward even more. So ACAW actually came as a result of some of that in some way, shape or form. But there was one verse that, like, when the whole sort of falling out happened, and, you know, one of my friends was telling me, oh, but you know, you can't accept this, blah blah blah, but God just said to me, call every single one of them and apologize to them, whether you think you did anything right or wrong.
He's done that
I
me.
Said yeah. You know what, this thing the way that that affected me was that I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't eating, I was just so upset, because it was literally heartbreak. It was heartbreak. But God is like, call every single one of them and tell them that you are sorry. And so I did it. And this verse sort of comes to mind. It's in Matthew chapter 5 verse 5. It says, you're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family.
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family.
That's amazing.
Identity and being able to sort of deal with heartbreak and stuff are very, very closely linked. You know, it's in the learning how to cooperate instead of compete or fight that you find your identity. And for me, even though like that breakup happened, whatever, it actually released me more into who I am.
Yes, because you don't allow that heartbreak to become your story.
Exactly.
And your narrative.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And also the space that that relationship was occupying and trying to make you be someone you are not is gone. No, so that space is now free for God to use to show you who you really are and your place in God's family. So it's been a twofold blessing, one of like an increased sense of identity and another of like a sense of community that is secure and sure.
Yeah,
so how does that letting go look like?
It's very painful. You have to hold back from, you know, maybe reaching out. You have to not take offense when, you know, people are chastising you or saying negative things about you. You have to hold your tongue and not respond. You have to take responsibility maybe for things you didn't even do or say, just for peace sake. You know, there's still a lot of anger and, you know, a bit of like upsetness towards people and stuff. But I pray about it all the time. I'm like, God, just help me. And time, you know, heals all things.
Yeah,
it does. So, yeah, there have been some disappointments for sure. But I think it's only really been in the long term for the best.
Yeah, that's super helpful. Yeah. I'm just curious, because Mo, like your reactions. I relate this. So, like, do you have anything to share?
I mean, it's been a tough, I think, friendships for me. I'm still in a place of trying to understand my friendships. And even like what you spoke about, like in terms of identity, understanding my identity, therefore understanding my friendships and understanding the roles people play in my life, in terms of like losing friends and friendships and all of that, you know, that's something that for, I would say, my whole life, that's been a theme. In terms of not even, like, there were never even fights. It's never been a negative breakdown of friendships, maybe one, but it's just been a, you know, moving schools or, you know, leaving the country or people just, like, me taking a gap year, people meeting new friends and growing and me feeling like, yeah, like, I'm in life alone, doing life alone. And it's been, I mean, yeah, it's been something that I'm just walking through what that means for me as a person and how, like you said, so like letting God fill up that place.
Yeah.
I think.
But you know, I think sometimes when we talk about, even if God is feeling the place, there's actually still the sense of loneliness.
Oh no, yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? So don't, it's fine to desire community and to say, God, I love you and, you know, you filled up that space, but I still want this.
Yeah.
Even, you know, it's completely, completely fine.
So in terms of like even feeling of, like, I think that's something I've definitely come to realize because like during my gap year, I was like, you know, God, you know, so I don't have friends, but I can seek you first, you know? And I think that has been contextualized because like you said, God wants us to be in community. Yeah. And so for a long time, I was like, okay, it's fine that I don't have friends. I have you, you know, God, like, you know, God, the Father, the Holy Spirit. But nah, like, you know, no man is an island. So it's me now, okay, knowing that filling that space isn't just filling that space with God, but filling that space with allowing other people come into my life. And so, like, you know, I have people that, I mean, I live in a house with four girls, like I'm surrounded with people.
Yeah.
But it's now a thing of like, because of all the hurt, because of all the loneliness and actually being comfortable in doing life alone is now choosing to allow people come alongside me in the journey, which isn't easy, especially when you feel like, I think what I felt even recently is that in the friendships that I've lost, a part of me has been taken in terms of, like, you know, these are the things that I used to do with these friends. This is how, like, this was just how my life was.
It's orientating.
It really flips life. You know, it makes you question a lot of things. But in that questioning, I think it's very necessary answering those questions. So looking at those things and say, okay, yeah, this is what's happened. But, like, answering those questions and letting other people in. So that's where I'm at. It's not an easy journey for me in terms of even feeling connected to people. I think my biggest struggle has been, okay, I have these people surrounded by me, surrounding me, but I don't feel connected to you. So now trying to find a way to feel connected, being intentional in my, like in my, you know, relating with you or like trying to go out with you or like, you know, for example, tonight, this House Fires concert, and my friend and I, we like, you know, we love House Fires. So we're going, like, I feel like it's very intentional because, like I said, I have been alone by, for a very long time. So I'm comfortable in being alone. But it's knowing that you, I can't.
Yeah, it doesn't make it right.
But do you ask, and you know, this is something that I have 100% done. So International Women's Day, you know, I wanted all my friends to come over. Some people were not even my friend. I should have invited them. You know, some work people, etc. But the question I'm going to ask you is, do you ask hard questions? And the reason why I say that is because it's all well and good if we had come on International Women's Day and gathered and had drinks and just been chilling. It would have been what it was. It would have been great. But what made it amazing was we asked some difficult questions. You know, and sometimes that's actually a good place to start. It's very difficult to come away with asking someone, so, you know, how is your soul and how do you feel like your past has influenced who you are now? When you have that exchange, when you leave, it's very unlikely that you will not reconnect.
Yeah, that's
so maybe it's the questions. I think that's not how so are you key. Do you want to do this? You're, no, heart to heart, let's just go there.
Okay.
And that's hard,
you know. It is. I think for me, like, my biggest struggle has been because so I have my Tales of My Youth thing that I do. And
what is it?
So it's very similar to ACOR. So I guess, like, it's also a community, but I mean, there's not much difference, really. I guess it's different in terms
what
of, like...
What is it in itself? Not what is... What
so it's a community of women gathering to develop. And right now, it's been mainly spiritual development. But for me, the kind of, like, vision is holistic development. So your mental development, your financial development, your relationships, your, like, everything, the whole... everything that encompasses being a woman.
Yeah.
But it starts with, you know, conversations, you know, events, that kind of whole shenanigan. But essentially for me, what the difficulty has been is because I have Tales of My Youth, and in Tales of My Youth, I share a lot already. And people, like, I do have, like, you know, events where people come and they feel vulnerable and they share. And that's kind of, like, the norm in my friendships and, like, my gathering with people. But because it's the norm, there's, like, a lack of... I don't really know what it is. But it's, like, because this is already something we do and we share and we... Like, I know what's going on in your life and you know what's going on in my life. There's no lasting impact.
You know what I would just say and just, like, pause there? So I would just say that it's probably very likely, like, just don't overthink it, basically, and just let... the friendships take root. So, like you mentioned, the house fires thing happening tonight. You've mentioned that you were intentional in that. And as you were saying that, I felt like what Sheon had already been talking about almost, like, spoke to that. And I think it's just actually, you're asking so many of the right questions. And I'm really happy that we've all been able to gather this. And yes, have Sheon as our guest, but also, like, share and ask questions. Because I just think from what you've said, and how I've interpreted it, is that it's just going to be an outworking in due time, and you're like definitely on the right path and things, and what you're doing is amazing, not just in terms of your organization, but just actually the fact that you're asking these questions and that you've made the steps. So I really think it's fine.
It's fine.
It's really fine.
Yeah, this has been 10 years in the making for me, so it takes time. It's a process.
I've got one more question before we kind of start to close, which is, we've talked about community, friendships, groups, groups. But when I think of, I always think of when Jesus, like, was in the Garden of Gethsemane and, like, he had to separate from even his top three, not top three, but, like, his most closest three. And obviously, like, his calling was the cross. Like, Peter wasn't called to the cross at the end of the day. Like, we all have individual things that we're called to, whether it's, and I don't just mean in terms of purpose, I just mean life experience. So I just wanted to get your insight on how do you navigate that? What does that mean? What does that look like for you?
Well, the independence versus the group thing.
I
think the independence time actually... for me, I always say this. So every time I do, like, an event or, like, you guys come over, whatever, when you leave, I'm so drained. And I just need to rest and just recuperate. Because I'm an introvert, like I said. So being around people is energy expending for me. So it's actually an effort. So I love, I think, alone time and just having, you know, time to yourself to just reflect and all of that is absolutely critical. For me, it's the most important thing in terms of when we talk about self-care. But people are kind of afraid to, you know, be alone. Even when you know, like, I'm married now and I still need my alone time, and we both fully understand that, because I can't show up properly if I haven't had time to just do my thing and be me. And there's a verse that, like, I wanted to read, again from Matthew 5. It says, you're blessed when you can show people... no, not that one, sorry. That's the one I read before. It is Matthew 5, verse 9. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourself proud owners of everything that can't be bought.
It's amazing.
You know, so what can... And then that begs the question, what can't be bought? Well, your peace of mind can't be bought. Your peace of mind can't be bought. Your sense of personal, like, mental like stability can't be bought, and nobody can give you those things. You have to just take the time to develop that on your own. So yes, you know, I love my friends, I love groups, but I also equally, maybe even preferentially, like my time alone. And what does that look like? I just put on worship, I usually sit on the floor, and I just like put myself in a posture to receive. That's when I'm doing like, you know, spiritual aloneness. I also get massages. Now I actually do them once every 3 weeks.
Nice.
It is a gift I give myself and I fully deserve it. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we just need to be okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, I just love to read. Sometimes I just stay at home and I just read. I also like to write. I just write. So just having, you know, times to just do your own thing. During work, I actually go away and I just read for like 30 minutes. Nobody knows where I am. Maybe now if they listen to your podcast, they will. But, you know, just taking those moments to just pause and be at one with oneself is so important. And it actually feeds your relationship. So like every time I gather with my friends and I say, oh, I've been thinking about this, I'm never thinking about it when they're there. Obviously, that thinking and that reflection happens separately. So it adds value when you have been able to, because as human beings, individuals were so complex. You know, you may be having recently I'm having a certain feeling about something and I'm like, why do I feel this way? This is so interesting to me. It's like I'm just learning something new about myself, that particular things trigger me in a certain way. And I think it's actually exciting to go on that journey of like figuring out, okay, why is this? And that's why journaling is so important. Because that's basically like, you know, the log of your mental states. You know, which is why when you go back on it, you're like, oh, okay. Wow, and then you know, it shows you how far you've come. So yeah, I do really think, you know, being an individual, being even being independent in terms of, because I know a lot of people when they get into relationships with guys or whatever, they really struggle with their identity and their own you know, their own independence. I don't think there's a more attractive woman than a woman that knows who she is and why she's here and really guards and protects that. Because what you'll find, a good guy will come alongside and only add and not remove.
And not be threatened.
And not be threatened.
And find it difficult.
Exactly.
There's a key word that you said when you were talking about your alone time, which was the word develop, and that it can't be bought and no one can give it to you. And I think that can be quite scary for a lot of people, even if they don't even realise that it's the developing, because you actually just have to sit and wait. It's not like sit down for 3 hours, but it's a journey of you every day discovering who you are. And actually, like you also said, is that we're all in a rush to like be doing things. And when you pour your whole self, or you give, you want to take over 100% of, for example, ACAW, instead of stepping back a bit and letting God actually fill it, you're not going to give yourself the time to actually have that personal time. So I think like purpose in the in its best way outside of ego is almost like manifested, slash the two kind of feed each other, basically. Your individual time and then the outworking of purpose, which of course involves community, friendships, relationships, team, everything. It's all kind of like a ecosystem. So before we end, does anyone have any other questions for Shem at this point?
Just to, I guess, summarize the whole section on friendships. What would you say a friendship is? Like, just...
I would say friendships are soul exchanges. I think it's an opportunity for you to exchange. Like, a friendship is not... It's not, like, a mind thing. It's not... It's a soul thing. It's a soul thing. And that's why, like... It's so important. And that's why I describe like my friendships as like literally the closest thing I can describe as a soulmate. It's a soul thing. You know, recently one of my friends went through a really difficult time and it was actually causing me heartache. Like heartache. I was saying to my husband, like, my heart is aching. Like, I don't understand this. Why am I so? And then and I was like, oh, actually, it's because I love this person with all my soul. A friendship is a soul thing. Anything, even a marriage starts off as a friendship, you know? That is, and I think that's actually the most important thing in any relationship. Relationships with your parents, your spouses, whatever, that friendship is key. It's such a beautiful thing. It's a blessing. And so if you see it that way, then you treasure it and you treat it that way. Another thing I always say to people is, be the type of friend that you are desperate to have. You know, it always starts with us. You know, if my friends are going through a tough time, I always think, okay, if it was me, what would I want to do? You start from there. Then as you get to know them, you start to understand what it means to be there for them, because sometimes it's not necessarily the same. But the intention and the reason behind your actions, it always comes through. You can always smell it. You're like, this is amazing. A good intention. So what kind of friend do you wish you had? Even you in the situation you're in now.
Yeah, I think that just...
What kind of friend do you wish... Because we always think that, okay, people need to do this to me because I make an effort. I try this. I put myself out there in my blog. I'm being vulnerable. well, you know, maybe that's not what is yeah, that the kind yeah, of friend that people need definitely. Sometimes yeah. people need a friend that just leaves them be. I don't think that happens very often though, because they may say that but they mean something else, so yeah. you know, you also have to decode it. But yeah. what kind of friend are you desperate to have? Yeah. That's the kind of friend I aim to be, and I pray that God just gives me the grace to improve, because I don't even think you know it's perfect. Yeah. It's still a journey. Yeah. But that's a good way to think about it.
That's amazing. Yeah. Thank you so much. Just to end, is there, we always ask every guest that comes, is there, what one piece of advice would you give your younger self if you could only pick one?
I would say be happy that people make fun of you about certain things, because one day they'll applaud you for it.
Oh my gosh, key.
Yeah.
Too key.
That's what I would say.
Thank you.
Because
so
it bothered
much.
Me a lot before, but now, it's in context.
This is the leadership point we were talking about
yeah.
before.
And the extra, Sean's so extra. Well,
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. This is amazing. And you guys are all beautiful. And it's been a fantastic conversation.